Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Was the first vision really a vision? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. As we continue to look at the First Vision Accounts essay found on LDS.org, we're finding some interesting tidbits of information that are causing us to have a lot of questions about this. First of all, in yesterday's broadcast, we read how the writer or writers of this particular essay refers to Paul's experience on the road to Damascus as a vision. And as we explained, there's nowhere in the text that actually says that. They're reading something into the text that isn't there. Now, it's not that the word vision isn't used around that story. We know that Ananias, whom Paul later goes to see, saw the Lord in a vision. And we also know that Saul, or Paul, saw Ananias in a vision. We certainly do not want to assume, nor can we assume, that what Saul saw was the actual person of Ananias, because Ananias had to even be told about the whole incident. He didn't even know about it. So obviously that's not what happened. And by the word vision being used when Ananias sees the Lord, we have to also conclude that he didn't actually see the resurrected body of the Lord. In other words, a vision in what we would call the traditional sense of the word. But the question that we want to talk about today is, what did Joseph Smith literally see? Now, they use the phrase, the first vision, but is that really what Joseph Smith saw? Did he see the Father and the Son in a vision, as we understand a traditional vision as being more of a mental apparition, and not necessarily seeing physical objects? Because remember, folks, we don't know of any time when Joseph Smith claimed that during this first vision experience, he ever touches the two persons that he talks about later on in the official account, the 1838 account. We don't ever hear of him touching these two personages. But yet, we are told from Mormon leaders that this experience that Joseph Smith had explains the Godhead much better than Christians have ever understood the Godhead up until that time period. So when we look at this question, did Joseph Smith literally see God? We find that people within the Mormon church give differing answers to that.
So the answer is yes and no.
You're right. Yes or no?
I mean, check this quote out from Joseph Worthland, who was an apostle in April of 1960 at General Conference. He says, "We know Joseph Smith actually saw the Father and the Son. There should be no question about that. He was the first to see the Father and the Son since the apostles were upon the earth nearly 2,000 years ago. And through his testimony, we know that God lives, that Jesus Christ is his Son."
First of all, it's kind of arrogant to think that the only way we could know that God lives and that Jesus Christ is his Son is because of an experience they claim Joseph Smith had. Christians have been proclaiming that for hundreds and hundreds of years. But the fact is, folks, Joseph L. Worthland, a Mormon apostle, speaking in conference, is telling us that Joseph Smith actually saw the Father and the Son. There should be no question about that. So he's giving us the impression that he saw the physical person of God the Father and the physical resurrected body of Jesus Christ. Now, we also have Russell M. Nelson, who currently serves as an apostle in the Mormon church.
Yeah, in the Ensign magazine from January 2009, page 12, he said, "God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, literally appeared to the prophet Joseph Smith in April 1820.
Now, that doesn't seem to me to be the description of what I would understand a vision to be. If I was to have an appearance of Jesus Christ to the point where I reached out my hand and I could touch his resurrected body. I don't think if somebody asked me about that event that I would say I had a vision. It sounds like I would probably say something more to the effect, I saw and touched the resurrected body of Christ. It was not a vision. I don't want you to misunderstand and think it was only a mental apparition. I actually saw and touched the physical person of Jesus. Now, I've never had an experience like that. I'm just using this as an illustration. But then we also have 70, Dennis B. Neuenschwander. That's a
you
tough
said that
name
very
to say.
But you said it very nicely.
And probably, according to him, I said it badly. But on page 18 of the January 2009 Ensign, in an article titled Joseph Smith, an Apostle of Jesus Christ, this is what Dennis B. Neuenschwander said.
Joseph's questions on religion were answered by the personal and physical manifestation of God the Father and his divine Son, Jesus Christ.
Now, there seems to be no question in what this gentleman is saying about this alleged event. He makes it very clear that he saw the personal and physical manifestation of God the Father and his divine Son.
So the question to your original answer, did Joseph Smith literally see God? I guess the answer is yes.
We would think so if we stopped with these three citations. However, as we find in many aspects of Mormonism, there's been other things that have been said that tend to raise a cloud about this.
So there's a contradiction then within Mormon leadership.
I would tend to say that there was, and here is one of the contradictions. Here is a statement by Charles Penrose, who was a member of the First Presidency, in a conference report stated April 1920 on page 27, this is what Charles Penrose said.
He says, we may not perhaps exactly explain how and by what means Joseph saw the Father and the Son. He called it a vision. That is right. It was a vision. But what is a vision of that kind? A vision like that which Moses had when he saw the Lord face to face. He saw the Father and spoke to him, and the Lord spoke to him. Moses declared that he saw him not with his natural eyes, but with his spiritual vision. And that there is such a thing, I presume many of us who are here are fully assured.
Now, first of all, he's reading into the scriptures because we don't find in Exodus chapter 33 where Moses ever says that he saw God with spiritual eyes. We don't see that in the account that's given in there. Now, certainly, there's a lot of details to the story of Moses seeing the backside of God, whatever that is. But it also talks about how Moses would be shielded from the person of God as well.
And so the question is, why would a person need to be shielded if it was just a vision?
Exactly. And we don't see anywhere where Joseph Smith claims to be shielded from seeing the physical person of God the Father in his account. See, this is the problem. We find Charles Penrose, he's claiming it was a vision, but it was a vision. He saw something, but it was spiritual vision. And I would say that a lot of people go, whoa, wait a minute. Now, the reason I bring this up is because when I talk to Mormons and I show them from their own writings, such as the first volume of Documentary History of the Church, where it says that the three witnesses to the Book of Mormon saw the plates in vision, I can almost see on their countenance that causes them a problem, because they have always believed that the three witnesses, or the 11 witnesses, saw the plates tangibly with natural eyes. But that's not what their own writings say. And when I point this out to them that no, nobody saw the plates, the only time they were seen at all was in this visionary trance, if you will. I don't even know if they would call it a trance, but in this type of a vision. And I find that has a profound effect on a lot of Latter-day Saints because they've never looked at it that way. And that changes their perspective. But when we have Harold B. Lee, what does he say about Joseph Smith's vision?
In the teachings of Harold B. Lee, page 5, it says, now if you will read carefully the testimony of the prophet Joseph Smith, you will find him relating the experience of how the Father and the Son came to him and delivered that great message as to what he should do, what church he should join and not join. He says this, when I came to myself again, I found myself lying on my back looking up into heaven. That's from Joseph Smith History 120. In other words, He had exactly the same kind of experience that Moses had. One must be transfigured then to see with his spiritual eyes and not his natural eyes.
Well, again, he's reading something into the biblical text that's not there. There's no evidence at all that we find in the Exodus passage that shows that Moses had to somehow be transfigured in some way in order to see what he saw. They're, again, reading something in there. And when it talks about Moses having spiritual eyes, we don't get that from reading the text.
No, no.
Why, if that was the case, would God have to shield him at all? If that's what happened? They're reading something in there that's not there. And then we have this statement from Roy Doxey, who worked with the correlation department.
Yeah, he said, "Let it not be supposed, however, that to see spiritually is not to see literally. Vision is not fancy, not imagination. The object is actually beheld, though not with the natural eye."
Now, does that make any sense to you? I mean, really, think about it, folks. "Let it not be supposed, however, that to see spiritually is not to see literally."
Why
is the description of the 11 witnesses, and in particular the three witnesses in the Documentary History of the Church, Volume 1, why does it use the word vision? Why doesn't it just say they saw the physical gold plates, a physical angel Moroni? It doesn't.
And going back to those plates, if the plates really existed, why would you need to see it in a vision? All you have to do is uncover it and show the plates as they literally are.
And remember, Joseph Smith told the three that they had to pray in order to see the plates. You don't normally have to pray to see anything that's physical and tangible. So I would say Roy Doxey's explanation here is a little bit tenuous, a little bit questionable. But go on, he says.
He says, "We all have spirit eyes, of which our natural or outward eyes are the counterpart. All men have a spirit sight, but all are not permitted to use it under existing conditions. Even those thus privileged can only use it when quickened by the Spirit of the Lord. Without that, no man can know the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. Much less can he look upon the highest unspiritually, with carnal mind or with natural vision. No man, no natural man, hath seen God at any time," John 1:18. "But men at divers times have seen him as Moses saw him, not with the natural, but with the spiritual eye, quickened by the power that seeth and knoweth all things."
And again, we want to reiterate that what Roy Doxey has to do and what these other writers have to do is they have to read into the text something that is not there in order to make Joseph Smith's account appear more believable.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Would you like to visit the Holy Land? If so, we've got an opportunity for you. Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson from Mormonism Research Ministry will be hosting a trip to Israel and Turkey in February 2015. We start with an optional 7-day trip to Turkey, as we'll see the seven churches of Revelation, including Ephesus, Laodicea, and Pergamum. Then, we head to Israel for 11 days, where we'll see amazing sights such as Caesarea, Upper Galilee, the Dead Sea, and Jerusalem. There'll be a special Joel Kramer Day as we climb up to Cave 1 in Qumran and see some incredible biblical sites. Your price includes airfare, 3- and 4-star hotels, professional guides and bus drivers, buffet meals, and all taxes and tips. To learn more, we invite you to visit mrm.org and click on the Israel icon in the top right-hand corner of the page. Every family who signs up receives a complimentary copy of Joel Kramer's Jericho Unearthed. Again, please visit mrm.org to find out more about this exciting trip. No doubt, an experience that will forever change your life.